Welcome to the Parenting is Hard Work podcast. I'm Dr. Scott Taransky with Elena Svetslot from the Netherlands, and we are here to talk to you about parenting today. And in particular, we're going to step back and talk about overall strategy and how we work with a challenging child. I think you'll find this to be one of those podcast episodes you want to save, you'll replay it again, you'll hold on to this, and you'll find it to be something that will guide you when you say, man, my child's challenging. I got to do something about this. So you'll come back to this over and over again. So Elena, thanks for joining me today.
Yes, it's really great to be together again. And I want to welcome everybody who's listening and indeed to say I'm really excited to talk about this episode today. It's actually going to answer mostly to the question of why. And of course, also we will have answers for the how questions. But I think many times as parents, we are so keen to get to the solution to how I can change this, how I can stop this. But I think stepping back and looking at the whole picture and asking ourselves, why are we actually doing what we're doing? And how is taking that from point A to point to the point where we're going to want to get to? It's a very good way to understand the overall picture and to have that 30K feed view that you see things from above, you see where and how you're working. So yeah, very excited to talk about this, Dr. Scott. And you are emphasizing a lot the strategic part of parenting and having a plan. Why do you think that's so important?
Well, I find that a lot of parents do a lot of reacting. Problem comes and they try to use correction to solve this problem or that problem, or they need to get something done, so they're doing short-term solutions. And if we think about strategy, we're thinking about the character development in children, the life skills that they need for the rest of their lives. We're really trying to build into them for the long term. And I think that when we find a child who has a particular challenge, they're disrespectful, or they're violent, or they're mean, or they're unmotivated, or they're poor handling of sibling conflict, whatever the problem is, they're just really challenging. They just generate more tension in the family. Then I think we've got to think more about the life skills this child needs, because it's not just about now and getting through the day to make it calm. It's not just about reducing the tension even in our family, although that's one of the things that happens when we embrace this kind of approach. It's about helping this child develop skills that they'll use, because obviously they're doing something that's generating tension and they need a stronger approach or a better approach to handle life, and we can give that to them, but it takes work.
Yeah, so it's basically develop adult skills, starting to develop that when they're very young to when they grow, and to be able to understand how to use those skills in various circumstances that are going to come their way. And I think it's not far from us, especially from me, to mention that a lot of times we're dealing with very challenging children, with many challenging behaviors such as ADHD or anxiety and different kind of disorders, or hormonal imbalances, or different dietary challenges. So, you know, it becomes even more important when we have this kind of extra challenges around that our children and our family need to deal with. And I think that's also why it's so important to look at the long-term solution, long-term plan, as opposed to let's just get things done now. Of course, we want to have a plan for now, and we want to get things done smoothly, and we want to have a peaceful time with our children. But we also need to think about How do we build that future-oriented strategy? And Dr. Scott, in your book, you look at the very facets of this, and I'm referring to chapter 12 now in the book, and you talk about how the body influences the behavior. And I know you have done a lot of research, and you're very knowledgeable about this. Would you care to give a bit of extra information for parents who are having children which are having a extra challenges in their lives?
Sure. The name of the book is How a Heart-Based Approach to Parenting Changes Everything. And I've identified 13 different common challenges parents face. And then how do we use a heart-based approach to address all of those? And of course, we have to come to the issue that some children have biological challenges that they face. Things like autism, ADHD, learning disabilities, dyslexia, audio processing problems, and a host of other issues that children have. And we know that behavior problems come from three sources. One is from biological challenges like this. It could also be a child's hungry or the child is tired. Those are biological challenges that children face. So that's the first cause. The second cause has to do with reactive patterns that children develop, arguing or some of them are diagnoses, things like reactive attachment disorder, post-traumatic stress disorder, oppositional defiant disorder. These are patterns that children develop in their lives that we identify as well. But these could be whining and complaining. It could be arguing with mom when she says no. All of those kind of things fit into this category. Now, sometimes it's hard to tell, is this behavior problem we're seeing coming from the biological challenge or is this coming from the reactive challenge? And so that's important to address. But there's a third category we can't forget, and that category is the spiritual challenges. And I'm not just talking about sin, although someone who's sinning has a obviously a behavior problem, but we're talking about the spirit of a person, their identity, their self-concept. And this is so important to consider. Because when a child, let's take a child with ADHD, for example, has a biological challenge. It's a brain issue where the neurochemical transmissions are not functioning as smoothly as they could. And so when that takes place, children have a hard time focusing, or they have high impulse, poor impulse management, or they have high energy. Those are three main symptoms. And so you see things going on, but then also you see things like anger episodes, and you see a child who is not returning when you give an instruction. I mean, now you're trying to draw the line. Which part of this is the ADHD problem, and which part of this is the reactive pattern that we can address here? And so what we want to do is draw the lines there. But we also want to recognize that there is a line between those two things. And then, of course, children have spiritual challenges. Children start believing they are no good or that they're a troublemaker or something like that. And that often is the case when a child's corrected all the time. So we really need a holistic approach. And that's why the heart-based approach is so valuable, because it's going to deal with the child on multi-levels to help the neurodiverse child be able to respond and build some changes and develop coping mechanisms that will help them to be successful in managing their lives long-term. So that's the benefit of a heart-based approach here.
Yeah, and when we talk about the heart-based approach, we talk about multiple ways and facets of dealing with different challenges and different heart challenges, heart issues in our children. Does it matter, or how do we if we cannot differentiate, Dr. Scott, about this about where the problem comes from or where the challenge is from? I think the wisest way is to look at the tools we have, and we talk about 7 tools in biblical parenting, and to use those as appropriately, correct? Or how do you advise parents to do that?
Some parents feel like if they get a diagnosis, it kind of gives them some sense of peace. Oh, wow, this isn't just bad parenting here. And a diagnosis can be helpful, especially if you need medication or you want to try that as a therapy, or you are needing special services from the school, then you're going to need a diagnosis of some sorts that helps you understand or helps the treatment team know where we are in the process. So I have parents ask me regularly, should I have my child tested, or should we go through some testing to get a diagnosis? And I say, well, you can, but you don't need to. I mean, we're going to treat your child as if he does or she does have ADHD, and I'm going to give you solutions that will start building patterns either way. So this is going to help you on a number of different fronts. So if you implement the things that we're talking about here and the strategies that we employ, you're going to be helping this child, whether the child's diagnosed with this or not. But see, I believe in parents, and I believe parents know a lot. And I believe that parents often can identify the symptoms, and whether we classify the child or not, I don't know, is all that important. We're going to treat them. because they have the symptoms of this particular challenge. So let's treat them anyway. And we're going to develop these life skills that children need in order to manage their challenges, whether we define them with letters or not.
Yeah. It's so important, actually, I think, to just give parents, I also believe parents are probably the best counselors and the best coaches for their children. So yeah, and we do, when we refer to the different strategies that you mentioned, there are 7 tools that we are using, mostly to guide ourselves when we are coaching. And that's, I'm going to quickly name them. We have visioning, relationship, coaching, teaching, firmness. We talk about transferring responsibility and also prayer. And if you go back to our episodes and listen, we have gone through all of these at different times, and we have given quite some insight into how we can use these. But what we're basically advising in our coaching programs is that at any given time, you have a toolbox of tools and strategies that you can use that could match that moment, that could match that specific situation and the specific need for your child, whilst you have the goal end in mind and whilst you work on a particular challenge, regardless of what that is being caused by. And that's all biblical. That's all coming from the understanding of how God has created us and how God has helped us develop. And I think that's the best way also. It happens to believe that that's also the best way to use for children. And Dr. Scott, perhaps it's worth to give just a very short overview of what a strategy looks like in a real life. If parents listen to this for the first time, what do you mean and what does it look like?
Yes. Okay. So first, let me make a statement about medication so people don't misunderstand here. Mm. I am not opposed to medication. I believe that medication can be a therapy for children. A number of my clients are on medication. If you're going to use medication, then it's often considered a way to take the edge off for a child so that you can work on some of these other deeper solutions for kids. So I just want to have said that so people don't misunderstand. When I'm working with a family as I will start working with a family just after we're done here, I've got a new family I'm working with whose son happens to be coming out of a psychiatric hospital. And they're trying to have a plan. So I'm going to help them develop a plan. And what I do is I look at these 7 tools that you mentioned, and I develop a prescription. And I say, okay, here's what needs to happen in order for us to, well, in this case, have reentry from the hospital home. Let's do this well. Let's maximize the change, bringing this child home. Mm-hmm. But most of the children or parents, families I deal with, their children aren't coming from a hospital. They're have them at home, and they're just weary with all of the with the tension that's created. And so, still, I'm going to create some kind of a prescription based on these tools. Mm-hmm. Let me just give you an example. So, for example, in this family I'm going to work with in a few minutes, there's a balance of 3 different of the tools that you mentioned that are going to be very important. We're going to look for ways to emotionally connect with this boy, even more than they're doing. So relationship is important. And even the words they use and the vocabulary they use is important. The second thing they're going to do is they're going to have some visioning meetings. That's a second tool. Visioning meetings that say things are going to be different now when you come home. And we're excited about this because it's going to build into you some of the internal structures you need to be successful in life. And so we're excited to work with you on this. So this is the visioning kind of things, putting it into perspective, what we're going to work on. And then the third tool has to do with some kind of firmness, which will bring structure into the situation. We're going to probably change how this child's handling electronics, or how we're dealing with bedtimes, or we're going to start setting up some structures about how we follow instructions, or how we deal with correction, or how we accept no as an answer. We're going to set up structures. So the structures are very important because the internal structures build the character necessary in order to build change in a child. So whether the child is in a dire straits like this one is, or the child is just living in your home and creating all kinds of havoc, then we are going to create a prescription with very specific terms that says this is what needs to happen. And that's what, of course, our coaches do. They listen to the parent, find out what's going on in many ways, what's happening in the family's life. And then from that, they say, okay, what do you think about this? And so we present ideas to parents, because it's not just a formula approach. I mean, parents know their kids better than we do as coaches. Say, what do you think about this? Here's why I think this would be helpful. What do you think about if we implement it in this way and together we develop a strategy then that parents go away and implement? They start working on this for a few days or a week, and then they come back the next week and they tell us what worked and what didn't work. Hmm. And when I know what worked, then that's really important, because we have found some kind of a window into this child's heart. And then once we know that, we can use more tools or develop the tools we're using in more ways to accentuate that window. And things that aren't working, we may modify, because maybe the good tools, they just for this child, they're not working very well. So we may try to modify them, or sometimes they're not working because the child is being resistant. We have to deal with some of the resistance that exists. So many different ways that we can help children and make changes. But the point is, we come into it with a plan so parents can be strategic. And this gives parents hope. So parents aren't just screaming at their kids or cussing at their kids. You know, they've got a plan. And when you have a plan, it brings hope for the child, it brings hope for the parent. And even when we have a bad day, we have a plan we can fall back on, and we can start moving in this direction.
Yeah, I think it helps in many ways for parents to really also look at their own parenting style and understand how are they dealing with certain situations, and how can they change their own patterns and their own behavior. Sometimes it can be hard also. So I think it's a two-way coaching. In fact, we're coaching the parents who are coaching the children. So it works very much both ways. There is a question, Dr. Scott, that I want to ask you before we're coming to the end. And that is, how can parents be firm without being harsh?
Boy, that's an important piece, because many parents believe these are the same thing, that firmness means I'm going to be harsh. And when we can separate this for parents, this is often just a revolution for them in their understanding of how they're going to relate to their kids. So firmness is really important. Harshness is detrimental. Harshness involves emotional intensity. It pours emotion into the instruction to show kids we mean business or something like that. And it's not a necessary component. What we need is more firmness. And we could we can develop this with kids in some very powerful ways to increase the firmness. But we do it through training and structure. So this is going to be really helpful as we try to make this work.
Thank you so much, Dr. Scott, for sharing this with us. And I want to remind parents that we have other 11 episodes that we have recorded, and they're available on our podcast. So do feel free to go and listen to more, get some more insights. You can go and buy the book that's available on the website. Again, the name of the book is How a Heart-Based Approach to Parenting Changes Everything. And it's accompanied by videos and by more explanatory sessions. So a very good one to have in your repertoire. So before we close this episode, Dr. Scott, are there any specific things you want to share with us?
Yeah, let me just say a little bit more about this book. The book is designed to give parents 13 different issues in family life, or 13 different subjects that then I really develop what a heart-based approach looks like in this way. So it's a very practical book. I've got churches buying multiple copies, bulk copies of this. I had one church buy 100 copies of this book to give away to the people in their church. People are looking for this regularly. They can find it on my website, biblicalparenting.org. And there they can really dig into this issue of what a heart-based approach looks like. So I recommend that parents check it out. I think it would be a helpful resource for them as they're continuing to develop the strength of their parenting.
Thank you. And to all parents listening, please feel free to share this episode to those who you might think might need it or might benefit from it. And until next time, we pray that God will bless you.